I believe that you will be very much peace in your hearts by today's presentation. But before starting, I would like to make one point which relates very much to our stay here at the site of Giriraj Govardhan. Today I was sitting with one devotee before Giriraj, and like all the other days, a question appeared in my mind. Like, how is it that the seal is the best of Krishna's servitors? It became clear to me. Once I see this, or understand this question, I will be able to enter into Krishna Leela. Because in order to understand this question, one really has to come from the aparavicha, the external perspective and consideration, to the paravicha, or the tatvavicha, that is the transcendental understanding, where, by which one can see reality. Just like when I look at my birded person who sits just opposite to me, as long as I think here is a person with a beard, I'm moving in the material perspective, in the material vision. But the moment I can see him in his spiritual identity, then he may look entirely different. I'm on the spiritual or transcendental platform. So, but nevertheless, although we may not be able yet to see Giriraj in his full splendor, he is nevertheless ready to fulfill the desires of any sincere sadhaka. And that's why I want to encourage you, as our retreat approaches the middle of its time, to really make an effort to try to see things spiritual, and if it is a little difficult, then try at least to be a serious sadhaka, a serious spiritual practitioner, turning with a serious intent to be Giriraj. As I was musing or wondering about this question, how is it that the seal is the best of Krishna's servant? I read in the past a shloka from the Ananda Brindavan Champu, which seems to give an answer to this question. Govardhan Hill, this verse says, enhances Madhava's pastimes by continually supplying roots for eating, water for drinking and also bathing, fruits, colored mineral for powders for decorating the body, and cakes for merrymaking. Merrymaking means an activity which brings pleasure, I think, isn't it? Madhavananda? Merrymaking?
The Sanskrit's not there, is it?
I'm sorry?
Is the Sanskrit there?
No, it's only the English translation. Merrymaking. So. Fun, yes. This is a simple Australian perspective of highly esoteric truths. Some enjoyable and pleasurable activities take place in the cave. And we certainly know what these activities are. These activities are Krishna's either with his cowherd boyfriends in the caves, or he is with his dearest devotee, Srimati Radharani. So Govardhan supplies all these. That means ingredients for the pastimes of the Lord. And then here is a very nice part. It says, O Sakhi, O my dear girl companion, affectionate Krishna fulfills the desires of all those who take shelter of Govardhan, except for those who come to the Govardhan retreat. Oh, this is a wrong one. Sorry, I was still a little wonky. It's my new word. I need to excuse. Let me read it again. Affectionate Krishna fulfills the desires of all those who take shelter of Govardhan. Full stop. This is the conclusion of the scriptures. Even the most unqualified can attain perfection in sadhana by the assistance of Govardhan. Wonderful scripture, huh? Ananda Vrindavan, something. So, my dear devotees, please do not slacken or become lazy in your retreat activities. You are performing very important sadhana, that is Shravana and Kirtan, you for sure will sometimes have spiritual desires. I know, for instance, that Giriyash helps some of us by arranging that we become a little ill, so that we understand material life is miserable, I only want spiritual life. Giriyash helps by giving sweet longings in our heart, as happens when we hear some good Krishna Katha, and Giriraj is helpful in many other ways. So today in my subject, therapeutic listening, I would like to discuss a little bit the subject matter to listen to mantras and worship Krishna through mantras, and worshipping him through flowing meditation. Yesterday, for those of you who were not present, either in body or in mind, you can be present in body, but absent in mind. I would like to summarize yesterday's class. We had discussed yesterday how absolutely powerful it is to listen about Krishna, because Krishna enters within the heart and becomes manifest, and as a result two things happen to us. Our material miseries are driven out, including fear or insecurity of all sorts in bhakti, and Krishna takes care of auspicious qualities like feeling attracted to Krishna. This is highly auspicious. So this is the therapeutic effect of listening, which takes place when we listen in a certain way. The Bhagavatam mentioned we should listen with Shraddha, we should listen regularly. Prabhupada, for instance, he once said, if you regularly chant the second chapter of the first canto, you will become a great scholar and everything you say will be correct. Hare Krishna. And we should listen with Svacheshtitam. Svacheshtitam means with a sincere endeavor. And I have read to you another of a purport of Srila Prabhupada, where he clarifies what this endeavor is. What endeavor we should do when we listen? How should we listen? With rapt attention. What means rapt in this connection? Rapt attention. It means like a rapture. To be raptured means like fascinated. Rapt attention. Here, what do our English speaking Wallas say? What does rapt attention mean? Rapt. Tense, something like tense maybe? Like the well, that's another thing. Who is a good English person? Where is my English guru, Bhumala? In the horizontal position. Wrapped. Adi Purusha, what does your computer say?
He's interested or absorbed in something. Completely interested or absorbed in something. This is how our attention should be. And we had given examples from the Skanda Purana, Madhavananda. I made a little advertisement yesterday in your absence about Krishna Kathamrita. Now, Krishna Kathamrita, the magazine is with Madhavananda, our talented publisher, who will also speak and address us the day after tomorrow in a forest of Kadamba trees. He will lecture in the new Krishna Kathamrita magazine. We have heard the recommendation of the Skanda Purana that we should listen like a Chataka bird, that is with a completely fixed interest, like the Chataka bird will not be willing to drink any other water than the water which comes from the rain cloud. We should also adopt the listening techniques of the swan, who can separate the unessential from the essential, the milk from the water. Another guru in listening was the parrot, who doesn't talk unnecessarily, so we should not pollute the atmosphere with unnecessary talk. And the our other listening guru is the fish, who swims in the nectar. Hare Krishna. These are our listening gurus. This is what we have said yesterday. Oh, Burijam Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Should we look in our most photogenic way, or is it good enough? In one of Burijan Prabhu's sessions, it was an early session in one of the early retreats, he gave some tips how we should, other tips how we can listen or read, and I would like to give a little summary of this, what he said. Burijan Prabhu had quoted Prabhupada, who said, there is no question of stopping. Even if one has read these topics many times, he should go on reading again and again, because Bhagavad Katha, the words spoken by Krishna and spoken by Krishna's devotees about Krishna, are amritam, nectar. The more one drinks this amritam, the therapeutic effect is the more he advances in his eternal life. Drink, drink, if you're intelligent. Make sure that you drink enough and more of this amritam, so that you advance in your eternal life. Then Burijan Prabhu suggested some steps about a certain type of reading, I would like to add hearing. Yesterday I also summarized some of these steps when I said you should make it a point to not just pour the information through your head, just pull it through the head. You should listen, then reflect. This is like chewing on the subject, so that the subject will release its nutritional elements, manaha. Then you should meditate. This is like bringing the subject down, so that there will be even more nourishment. And finally, you should apply practice, where you bring the prayer, where you bring the subject matter down into your heart. Burijan Prabhu gave a list of other suggestions, and I hope some of you are awake so that you can hear these suggestions peacefully. He suggested a very fine way of reading, which I applied today when I was very very exhausted and needed some good dose of spiritual energy. And he distinguished the information-seeking reading, where you read as many informations as possible, from the prayerful reading, a reading which nourishes you. And he gave the following tips. First, decide what you wish to read. It should be some very appropriate subject matter which helps you. You might do what many devotees have done, is you might remember some very, very good places in some books, good for you, which are of highly inspiring nature. For me, for instance, I read from time to time different chapters in Srila Prabhupada's books, which always are deeply inspiring for me. So get these texts which really help you. Then the next step is go to a place where you be totally uninterrupted, and you can be quiet. No phones will, phone calls will attack you, and so on. Then make yourself physically comfortable, and then beg for association, guidance, and mercy. I sometimes open the Bhagavatam and say, "Oh, please, Sukadev Goswami, oh, great Acharyas, let me come to the bank of the Ganga and sneak within the exalted association of sadhus and listen to Parikshit Maharaj's questions and Sukadev Goswami's learned answers." And by doing this meditation before, I often opened the book at a place where mystically an answer to a difficult question in my life came about. And then he suggested, read, if you wish, read aloud. I personally have heard that in the old time, scriptures were really always heard. So some devotees have read aloud, but I can only say for me it doesn't work. I can't concentrate to listen and pronounce the words. It just doesn't. I'm too westernized or too modern. And so on. But some devotees do it. They read aloud. And then read until a certain phrase. Oh, there's a Nila Gau. Come here. Please come here. If you want to see. Come here. No, swiftly come here. No need to. Is he... is he coming or not?
Chased by dog.
Oh, chased by dog. Well, we could offer protection. Has she gone? I'm sorry. You will find. Please bring the Nilagal. We will offer protection. Can just sit with us happily. So, dear devotees, please turn your attention in the frontal direction. So read until an idea or a phrase catches your attention, and then stop. Repeat it. Meditate about it until and hold it in your heart. That is when you are most influenced by the Shastra. When you can let a part of the Shastra touch you in the deepest part of your life. And later I would like to add, communicate with Krishna through prayers. Anyways, this is a little bit a summary of what we tried to go through yesterday. I would like to now engladden your hearts by a little meditation. Please allow me to just... Yes. When we hear Krishna Katha, there is a point when we also like to meditate about what we have heard. Jiva Goswami writes in his Krishna Sandava, to worship the Lord's unmanifestest aprakat pastimes, two processes may be adopted. See, Lord Krishna's pastimes are going on eternally, and as we hear about them, we make a contact with the invisible Lord. The Lord, as we have heard, is willing to enter through the channel of the ears into the heart of the devotee and sits down on the lotus of a heart. That means he's willing to enter into a relationship with the devotees simply by the process of hearing. Prabhupada called this the Shrutekshita path, the path of hearing, and those who were attentive have noted the verses where he describes in detail how to do this. So when you hear about Krishna, the unmanifested Lord, through the mantras, then the Lord will come. So this happens, to worship the Lord's unmanifested pastimes, two processes may be adopted. Mantropasanamayi and Svarasiki. The first process, Mantropasanamayi, entails remaining permanently in a place where the Lord enjoyed pastimes and worshipping the Lord by chanting various mantras describing his pastimes. This process of mantropasana is described in the Brihat Jnanaratna Bhishika chapter of the Krama Deepika and in other passages in the Vedic literatures. The Gautamiya Tantra also describes this process of mantra meditation in the passage which begins with the following verse. So, we meditate about Krishna by listening to an appropriate mantra. Jiva Goswami says this should be done in an attitude where we reside in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Either like here, I will soon meditate with you a little bit about Krishna. Or we are in our meditation in Vrindavan. So the Gautamiya Tantra guides us how to do this. I shall now describe the process of meditating about Lord Krishna. And then the mantra comes, whose eyes are like lotus flowers and who is dressed in yellow garments. Meditating on Lord Krishna in this way, one becomes free from the reactions to all past sins. Now there are further examples of mantras which a devotee uses to meditate about Krishna. And one mantra is given in the scriptures. It comes from the Brahma Sanghita. Please recite it with me if you know. Venum kvanantamaravindadalayatasham bhavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandapakoti kamaliya visheshashobam govindavari purusham tamam vajami. I would like with you to meditate about this in a the meaning of this mantra. First, I would like you to look at Krishna, who had just climbed the tree here. Can you see Lord Krishna, or is he in the way? Is the blackboard in the, or the whiteboard in the way? Radha Bhushan? We can take this away. Please now look at Krishna a little bit closer. Can you see the tree? Look who is in the tree. There are two parrots who discuss most properly the proprietorship over Vrindavan. There is a peacock. Next to him is a stream. The moon. There's a suitable creeper, a lakika, who winds his way up that the tree. Most probably it's a kadamba tree. I don't see so. Looks like a kadamba tree. Hare Krishna. Very fine river. Yes? Yamuna, when Krishna was present, there were many smaller rivers than the, and they were all considered to be servants of Yamuna or representatives of Yamuna, said Sanatana Goswami. So I would like you now, would like that you sit now properly, sit, establish yourself in a good sitting position. And I will read to you very slowly the translation and try to meditate about this translation. Close your eyes when you are ready. Breathe very... No, you have come after a meal. Open your eyes when you're ready and just stretch your hands up as if you want to surrender to Krishna. It's a good yoga exercise to become alive. And especially when we chant De De Sirare De De Sirare. Close your eyes. Breathe properly. And kindly try to see, to meditate about this verse. I worship Govinda. He is the primeval Lord, who's expert in playing on his flute. He has blooming eyes like the petals of a lotus flower, and his head is bedecked with a peacock feather. His beautiful form has the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charms millions of cupids. He wears a peacock feather ornament upon his head. He has blue Kanikara flowers on his ear. is dressed in a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, or the flesh of a lightning. And there's a long Vaijajanti garland around his neck which reaches down to his knees. When Lord Krishna enters the blossoming forest of Vrindavan, he does so while dancing. He plays his flute while he dances, and he beautifies the earth of Vrindavan with the marks of his footprints. He fills the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. Around him are cowherd boys who lovingly sing his glories. Now take your attention to the face of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna's face is encircled by curling locks of hair. His cheeks are beautified by earrings. His lips appear to be full of nectar. And he smiles as he glances at his devotees. He has two strong arms which take away all the fear of his devotees. And his chest is the only source of pleasure for the goddess of fortune. Anyone who sees Krishna like this must become his servant. Please breathe properly, and then as you hear the signal of the cartels, open your eyes when you are ready. These were three very favorable verses from Mantrapasana meditation. I personally believe that when Srila Prabhupada asked his devotees to every morning come before the deities and play the Govindam prayer, one of this is this verse which Jiva Goswami mentions, Venom Kvan Dantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham, and the other was Anganiyasya Sakalendiya Vrittimanti, right. I have heard that the second verse which Jiva Goswami says is good for Mantrapasana meditation. When I became aware of this about 10 years ago, I thought Prabhupada calculated that one day his devotees would not be absent-minded during the japa, during the deity of the greeting, and they would ask themselves the question, what is the mantra and the statements of the mantras which we chant. I calculated this. The Prabhupada must have thought one day this day would come to some of his devotees, that they would ask, what mantras do we chant every day? Then they would go every day into the meaning of the mantras as they were singing it. There's a lecture. Oh, human, you look very attractive when you rest. Hare Krishna. Thank you for being an example of resting. So, these are verses for the mantra vasana meditation, verses through which you can make contact with Krishna in an authorized way. Now, upon further advancement, which is something which really requires the level really become then to a process where our heart must be purified from anattas, and there is a strong stream of ruchi. Then the process, there is a next step. When the process of mantra-pasana, worship of the Lord by chanting mantras, becomes complete, the eligible means qualified devotee attains the stage known as smarasiki, that is direct perception, where Lord Krishna personally appears in the heart of the devotee and manifests his transcendental pastimes there. This smarasiki stage of meditation on Lord Krishna is described in the following verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavida hrit sadoja ase shrutek shitapato nanunata pungsam yat yati yatadurugaya vibhavayanti tatat vapu pranayase satanugrahaya. We already quoted that verse in our earlier lectures. Here this path is described in the Bhagavatam. Those of you who like to take a note of this verse, it's third canto of the Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, text 11, and it is here. Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts becomes cleansed and you take your seat there. Huh? After sufficiently hearing about Krishna from mantras, from the mantras of the shastras, which are suitable for meditation, then the heart becomes cleansed and you take your seat there. Oh, you are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they all would think of you. I will read to you how this works. In the stage of... This is like an example. Here comes an example. Lord Krishna eternally enjoys pastimes with Balaram, the cowherd boys, the calves and the Surabhi cows in the forest of Vrindavan. So when you are now on that stage where your heart is cleansed, Krishna will situate himself there in your relationship. That means your eternal relationship, it's called the Stai Bhava, becomes activated, and then with the element of other Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhavas, and so other, then with these elements, all of a sudden the pastimes of the Lord will manifest there. The difference between these two types of meditations are explained by Jiva Goswami like this. What you will see, in other words, is, you will see how Krishna really walks into the forest of Vrindavan and what he does there. And it's not speculation, but it's something like direct revelation. In the stage of Swarasiki realization, the various pastimes of Lord Krishna appear before the devotee like a constantly flowing Ganges river. Some of those Swarasiki pastimes become recorded in various mantras, And thus the Mantropasana stage of realization may be compared to a series of lakes within the Ganges river of Swarasiki realization. I would like to give a modern example here, because you are not people of the Ganga, but people of the movies. Mantropasana is like a still picture, and Swarasiki is like a moving picture, pictures, a film, in other words. In the Mantropasana stage, one hears about Lord Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, and the residents of Brajabhumi, whereas in the Swarasiki stage, one is able to directly see Lord Krishna and his associates. From this we may understand that the Swarasiki stage is very elevated and difficult to achieve. The most confidential matters are understandable in that Swarasiki stage of realization. The Swarasiki stage is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authoritative source of spiritual knowledge, and many Swarasiki pastimes are described in its verses. The following verse, SB 6:8:20, describes Lord Krishna's unmanifest aprakat pastimes as seen in this Swarasiki stage. The pastimes are presented in the form of mantras to be chanted by the devotees in the Mantropasana stage. Now you must be careful with this information. This information is supplied to those who have an interest in our glorious tradition. But please do not take from this information the highly childlike interpretation of modern Vaishnavas, some modern Vaishnava groups. This is not for imagination. See, Krishna Leela, you must be careful. Krishna Leela, oh, Krishna Leela is so absolutely transcendental. And if you now want to make, it's never a product of your imagination and your psychological conditionings. Leela is very difficult because you can really only understand it in Tattva, on the Shuddha Sattva platform. But if you are hearing Krishna Leela on a lesser platform, then you will impose Mayika forms and qualities as your mind conceives material forms and activities while you hear the words of Krishna Leela, and then you can become faulty of pulling the highest on the lowest, and in this way not really make the nice realization. Therefore, approach it carefully. It's nice to sometimes do what we have done, to just hear suitable shlokas in a suitable environment and suitably meditate about the shlokas. After all, when we study, nididhyasana or meditation is one of the authorized processes which should be done. Always keep one eye on the subject matter of cleansing your heart carefully, on adopting the beginner's mind. I very much like the combination of here between Burijam Prabhu's contributions and some of my own attempts to serve you. Burijam Prabhu makes always very, very clear that everything is carefully presented, that is Srila, bringing Srila Prabhupada's values and so on there, and cautions and so on. And I always want to bring you a little bit beyond your ordinary life with some spiritual techniques, so that you can do both. purify yourself and constantly avail yourself of the glorious tradition which we have at the proper time of your spiritual development. Having said this much, I would like to make a little pause, because now we will go again into a practical example of therapeutic listening. I will talk about a pastime. Today I want to glorify Srimati Radharani. For that we need to set up a few things. Could you kindly make sure, this is only a 5-minute pause, is this alright? Some of you might like to get up and walk a little to the water supply, get some water. Others may like to roll in the dust. Still others might to lie in the shade of the Kalpa Vriksha trees for a little while. And then please come back in 5 minutes.
To the young Achyutananda and confused him totally philosophically. He said, see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Godhead, not Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna combined make Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the one undivisible truth, Radha and Krishna, have come. He is greater, therefore, than Radha alone, and then Krishna. And then Mr. Rai, in order to cement his argument, gave an example. He said, just like a rasgulla, it is better than milk or than sugar. it is better than milk and sugar. Achyutananda was confused. He went to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, who is the original? Chaitanya or Radha and Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada said, Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna come first. The same example. First there's milk and sugar, and then there is the rasgulla. He gave that example. Achyutananda was still a little bit traumatized by this argument from Mr. Rai and wanted to now know who's greater than, who's the greatest. Srila Prabhupada paused. And as he went into this question, became more and more tender in his heart and more ecstatic. And he said, by pointing at a picture on the wall, that Radharani is the greatest. This picture showed Krishna kneeling down before Srimati Radharani, who was sitting on a throne. Krishna, on this picture, had a desperate expression in his face, because he is trying to pacify loving sulkiness of Radharani. And Prabhupada then said, the devotee is the greatest, because Krishna becomes the servant of his devotee. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Krishna expresses in his own words how Srimati Radharani is the greatest. He says, one who has 100 times more qualities than me can give pleasure to my mind. And we will today here in the sacred land where Srimati Radharani was crowned the Empress, we will hear this tomorrow. Or the day after tomorrow. Both. Here, where we are in her kingdom, we will now hear something which will prepare us for tomorrow's reading of Jagatarini Mataji. Are you ready? his heart was working against his intelligence. It couldn't be what he had just written down. He had just written down that Krishna, the ornament of the universe, had knelt down before Srimati Radharani and asked Radharani to place her feet upon him. Krishna had done this in a mood of desperation because he wanted the kindness of Radha, who had become sulky and had lovingly turned against him. So he had written this verse in his Gita Govinda. Smaraghara kandanam mama shirasi mandanam dehi pada palavam udaram. Place your feet on my head, please. But his intellect was conflicting against that what he had seen in Svarasiki meditation, in his purified Vaishnava. His intellect was rebelled. He can't be. So, with this conflict, he went to his wife and said, give me the things for taking a bath. I need to take my bath and cool off. When I return, I'm so much in the writing mood. Please give me my food. When Jayadev had hardly left the house, he stood again before the door, demanding entrance. Mavati says, you are very confused today. Yes, Jayadev, but this time he smiled blissfully. He went to the writing room. He took some food. Later, he rested. But Mavati was clearly intrigued by the unusual behavior of her husband. Then she heard a knocking at the closed door. And there was a voice. Why have you locked the door? I've not even come in. But Mavati, the wife of Jayadev, went to the locked door, and there was Jayadev before the door. But he had come. He had gone to his writing room. He had eaten and he had rested. First she thought this Jayadev before the door was a magical apparition. Maybe one tantric had produced a Jayadev imitation. But as her husband demanded entry, Padmavati opened the door. Where is my food? Oh my lord, you have just eaten? No, I was bathing. No, you came. You came and you went to your writing room. Then you ate. Then you rested. Most probably you are resting at the moment there. Jayadev, this is unusual. And he went straight to the writing room. His resting mattress showed the impression that someone had rested. It was not him. Then he got an idea. He went to his writing. And there he saw completed what he had started. That questionable shloka on which he had meditated. That is, that Radharani would not receive Krishna because Krishna had acted in an, from Radharani's perspective, impossible way. And therefore, she was sulking. And he saw in a handwriting as beautiful as a row of pearls the completion of the shloka, which reads, for all times, smara galala kandanam mamashira simandanam dehi pada phalavam udaram jvalati mai daruno madana kadanalo haratu tattu pahita vikaram priye sharushile, which much better rhyme than your innocent Sanskrit student tries to chant at the moment. The verse says, in Krishna's language, O my beloved, offer the fresh buds. Buds means flowers who have not yet blossomed, who are small, pupolnyak in Knospe in German language. Offer the fresh buds of your enchanting feet as an ornament upon my head, so that the devastating effects of Cupid's poison may be alleviated and the harsh fire of amorous desire may also be relieved. In this verse, Lord Krishna compares Srimati Radharani's feet with ornaments, with beautiful buds, cooling, because Radharani's feet are so red and so soft, and also their touch is so cooling, like new petals. So he says, may my hot head be cooled and decorated by your feet. Why is Krishna so hot and so much in need of cooling? Well, he has so much of a desire to associate with Srimati Radharani, a desire which is transcendental karma, free of all connections with what we know as lust. Krishna compared this karma to the venom of a poisonous snake. When the heart is bitten by a poisonous snake, then all the bodily limbs are quickly burned, turning into smoldering charcoal. So he says, your feet, cooling feet, are the perfect antidote of the snake poison of karma, which burns my heart and my limbs and my head and my ears and my nose and my all. They are like Garuda, who renders snake poison totally ineffective. So here you see how Krishna becomes subordinate to Radharani. The personality who had written in Jayadev's absence this verse in the notes, writing notes of Jayadev, was no other than
Krishna.
You know everything. Krishna, in Rupa Goswami's literature, it is described that he sometimes takes Ananya Svarupa, other forms in which he does appear. So he had swiftly come to solve this conflict between the heart and the realization of in the heart of Jayadev and his intellect who couldn't believe his heart. I think on a less lower platform, we are sometimes also in this conflict between intellect and heart. But this is on a very, very, very good and high platform, where the heart is purified and becomes the receiver of Krishna's divine pastimes, where you see transcendentally through your heart. So how did it come that Radharani, who's so very attracted to Krishna, can become so much against Krishna that she posts Lalita and Vishakha and other Sakis at the entrance of her Kunj and says, whenever Krishna comes, chase him away with harsh words. Tell him he is not qualified to enter even over the threshold of this Kunj, what to speak of coming still closer. How does this come? See, Radharani is so attracted to Krishna, says the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adi Lila, that everything which she hears reminds her on Krishna. The flute-like murmur of the bamboos which rub together steers Radharani's consciousness, for she thinks the flute-like murmur she thinks it to be the sound of my flute, says Krishna. And Krishna says, when she sees a black tamar tree, she embraces the tamar tree, mistaking it for me. This happens on such an attachment form that when Radharani is so attached, she sees everywhere Krishna. There is a Krishna Lila troupe in Vrindavan. They want to depict how Radharani sees things. And what they do is they dress many actors up as Krishna. They put one Krishna in the tree, one next to a river, one on a chair, one on a ear. As many Krishnas, 15 Krishna. Then when Radharani comes on the stage, where's my Krishna, where's my Krishna? The spotlight goes on one Krishna here in the tree, one on the stool, one on the sofa, one on the river, and so on. There's a verse. This attachment in the Vipralamba mood makes the attached person perceive Krishna everywhere. And therefore, the verse says, if I should choose between meeting Krishna, being separated from Krishna, I would choose separation from Krishna, because when I meet Krishna, I see only one Krishna. But when I see a separation from Krishna, I see him coming from everywhere. Many more Krishnas than 50 Krishnas. Radharani thinks, says the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I have gotten the embrace of Sri Krishna. She thinks, now my life is fulfilled, when she embraces the tamar tree. Thus she remains absorbed in pleasing Krishna, taking the tree in her arms. Hare Krishna. So Radharani, how is she the same person who sees this everywhere, Krishna? How does she say, Krishna, you can't see me? And how does she order her cowherd girls? Chase him away with harsh words. You're not qualified. Go on the moon, or go to Chandavali. Who is the moon? Go. She does so to please Krishna. And in a moment we will hear a first class shloka which will explain how she pleases Krishna. Vaishivati Radharani gets into man, this loving sulkiness, is really only to give pleasure to Krishna in a different way. Rupa Goswami has said, the movements of love are like the movements of a snake. They go sometimes this way, that way, this way, that way. Here we will only tell you that this evening you will understand why Radharani goes into man, because Krishna does something which is so humorously provocating the gopis that you will laugh and will understand. Come on. Jiva Goswami writes, many disguises with Krishna takes on afterwards to pacify the man. He comes to Radharani dressed, for instance, as a barber's daughter who decorates her feet. Or Krishna comes, says Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, disguised as a female singer and sings ragas for Radharani on scales which only a very special person can sing. When Radharani gets into Mount, it's quite something. At that time Krishna needs the help of the Sakis. So during one of these pouts, loving pouts of Radharani, Krishna went to Sati and said, I mean, Radha must surely sometimes remember me. For instance, when she sees the black tamal trees. But the Sati says, there are no black tamal trees in Vrindavan any longer. Radharani is so much in man that she has ordered all her Sakis to whitewash the black tamal trees. They are only white trees. Where formerly they were black trees. She absolutely doesn't want to be reminded of you. No, but they are the peacocks with the peacock feathers and the black cuckoos and the black bees. They must remind Radharani. No. Radha doesn't see any peacocks and cuckoos and bees any longer. She stays in a forest of champaka trees in full bloom. So champaka tree has yellowish golden flowers. So she sees only a golden effulgence. She doesn't see anything black. Krishna says, that's not possible. How can Radharani avoid to see the blue sky? All the blackish clouds. The Sakis say, this time her man is so strong that wherever she goes under a white umbrella. She doesn't see any clouds or any sky. Krishna at this moment begins to cry and says, but I mean, my memory is in her eyes. She has black pupils, doesn't she? No longer. She has whitewashed the black pupils of her eyes with her tears. But Krishna knows what this loving anger of Radharani is. It's just another expression of her love for him. There are verses in the scriptures where the divine couple sits with the back to each other and they don't talk any longer. Krishna is getting worried. Radharani is not talking to him. Krishna is getting more worried as the hours go by. It is clear, whoever breaks the silence first, he loses. So Krishna, at that moment, takes his lotus-like hand and points so that Radha sees it towards a pomegranate which is there on the trees, which reminds Srimati Radharani on a pastime which she had with Krishna. And then Radharani bursts out in laughter. Krishna says, you have lost. No, says Radharani, you have lost because you broke the silence by pointing. And in this way, they very lovingly talk, but this time it's very, very manic. Oh, very problematic. At that time, it is the duty of the Sakis, the girl companions, of Radharani to break the man. And there is a very nice shloka in Rupa Goswami's writing which says, O Radhe, when will I see you smile when I remind you of Krishna? When I tell you how you love the dark quarter of the moon, it's called Krishna Paksha. You know, when there is a dark part in the moon, Radharani likes this thing because the darkness of the moon reminds her of, you know, everything. Krishna. Yes. When will I see you smile? And in this way, your loving anger goes away. When I tell you how you love the Kuvalaya flower, what is the color of the Kuvalaya flower? Must be black. When I tell you, Radharani, that you love so much the Krishna Sara. Krishna Sara is a particular kind of deer which you find in Vrindavan. And when I tell you how you love the Yamuna, so then why are you so averse to Krishna's own blackish form when you like everything which is black? So the Sakis will talk like this to Radharani and she will smile and break her loving anger. So here you can see, I want to now tell you how great our Krishna is and how greater our Radharani is. Krishna loves, says Prabhupada, to serve his devotees. That is one of his greatness. He takes pleasure in serving his devotee out of love. And that's why Krishna, in this verse which we are looking at, goes to Radharani and wants to take the lotus feet. I will request Gaudahari to bring a photo of this scene. Yes, so that the devotees can be enhanced in their Krishna consciousness or Radha consciousness. Krishna takes pleasure in serving his devotee out of love. For instance, the Lord carries the shoes of Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj said he can walk with his shoes. Or the Lord carries his friends on his shoulders. He serves the devotees like this and loves to do so. Krishna washes the feet of Sudama Brahmana. He serves his devotees. Krishna serves Arjuna by driving his chariot. He serves his devotee. And Radha is the greatest devotee of Krishna, whom Krishna loves so very, very dearly. Therefore, devotees who want to turn to Krishna first turn to Srimati Radharani. You must also know that Radharani is Krishna's compassionate side. She is very, very, very compassionate, especially to those who have a connection to Krishna. In Ujjvala Nilmoni, a verse appears which tells us about the compassionate nature of Srimati Radharani. In this verse we find that Radha once saw a calf who, while eating the harsh straw, had pierced the snout. So Radha came there, smeared some kumkum over the snout of the calf to heal that wound. Do you know why? Because that calf was a calf of Padmaganda. Padmaganda is a favorite cow of Lord Krishna, whose milk smells like the lotus flower. Padmaganda has the smell. So Radha will see any devotee who has a connection to Krishna and serves Krishna in the land of Braj and will show her compassionate nature to that wonderful devotee. And when one has the compassion of Radha upon his life, then the unattainable level of Prema Bhakti, of love for Krishna, can become attainable. Therefore, in the sacred forest of Vrindavan, you will find many devotees who worship Radharani first and with exclusivity. And tomorrow morning, at 7:30 in the morning, we will hear how Srimati Radharani was worshipped exclusively and how Krishna became the servant in her government. We will hear this. Jai Radha. Jai Sri Radha. So, at the end of our presentation, we will again ask our talented writer Padmavati to read about a pastime, a beautiful pastime, which is very necessary in such a class. We will hear again how a demon will be finished, this time by Lord Balaram. This is a very extraordinary piece of literature, you will see. You have to concentrate very, very much because it's very unusual way of describing. But full of sweetness, it describes how one of the anathas represented by Dvivida, Krishna Sanghita, that is also mentioned. Anyone knows who is Dvivida? Is it gorilla? Yes, that's the anatta. Maybe some anatta in the heart will be now finished. It does. You know or you assume? You assume. So we will hear this with great attention.
The killing of Dvivida is seen by a rock. I live in Raivataka Mountain. I can't move at all. I am very hard, but I can watch people and things. It is very peaceful here. There are birds singing, sweet fruits on the trees, and beautiful sweet-smelling flowers waving in the wind. Cows and deer come to relax and eat the fresh green grass. Lots of other animals come to relax. I like it here a lot, too. I like the breeze, the fragrance, the beauty, and how peaceful it is. I also like to watch the animals relax and eat. One day, Balaram came with his gopis to dance with them and drink Varuni. Because they were drunk, their eyes rolled in intoxication, and they kind of fell into each other. They ate the sweet fruits and were joking together. They kind of fell in, together and talking about funny things. They're all so beautiful. I cannot stop admiring them. They're all so happy together. Suddenly, out of the forest came Dvivida, the gorilla. He was a very bad demon. And he heard the music that the gopis and Balaram were making. When he saw them, he made cruel faces and showed his genitals. But the gopis only laughed. I said to myself, why are they laughing? Don't they know he is a demon? Finally, Balaram got angry and picked me up. It was so ecstatic when he picked me up. I was even kind of getting soft when he touched me. I don't know how to explain how ecstatic it was. Then, he hurled me towards Dvivida. I said to myself, hit Dvivida! Hit Dvivida! Over and over again. But Dvivida ducked. I smashed on the ground and broke into lots of small pieces. Then, Dvivida tore off the gopis' clothes. The gopis didn't laugh that time. Then, a fight started. Dvivida uprooted a tree to hit Balaram on the head, but Balaram caught it. Davida threw all of the trees, but Balaram smashed them all with his club. Finally, there are no more trees, so Davida threw all of the rocks, except me, because I was smashed when Balaram threw me. But Balaram did the same thing to the rocks that he did to the trees. Balaram was so angry that he finally decided to kill him. He hit Davida on his collarbone so hard that Davida vomited blood and died. Then the demigods shouted flowers, saying, "Jai Shri Balaram!"
Jai Shri Balaram!
And everybody was happy that Davida died. I hope Balaram comes again to Ravataka Mountain to dance with his gopis without any disturbances.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Yeah.